You're listening to Gunapod TT.
Good morning, Gunners. Yo, morning, Keegan Bowen. This is another episode of Gunapod TT. Keegan, good morning to you, bro. Good morning.
Good morning to all the Gunners. What's up, people?
Yo, like, where's, like, waking up this morning? But, like, I feel like I'm just feeling so different. I'm still feeling, as I was saying on Trini Gunners yesterday, feeling so frozen by the result. And, you know, it's like, I can't say that I'm feeling surprised or anything. But it's like we just needed one goal, but, you know, we just needed one goal. It's like waking up this morning thinking about this team and everything, but.
I'm not thinking about them, actually. That's the truth, you know. I just good in my corner. I ain't trying to die here, but I really good.
I mean, obviously, if by now you're listening to this podcast and you don't know, obviously we have been eliminated by Villarreal from the Europa League in the semi-finals against our former manager, Unai Emery. I, for one, thought that it was all written in the stars. We was going and defeat Emery. We was going to the finals. And we'd have reached the finals and beat Manchester United and take that trophy, a trophy we deserve since 2019 when we played Chelsea. And just wow, but it's just... I don't know, boy. How are we going about? Let me just start where it's best to start. Because before we left, you know, we were going into the tie, first leg, and we would have lost that tie 2-1. Keegan, we thought about the lineup for this game. We went out. I think this one we didn't play with our striker. We just went down and play football.
I don't even want to talk about this game because it's like every time you saw the lineup, that would have dejected all the Arsenal fans. Like, I don't think I had a single Arsenal fan who was like, "Yeah, man, Mateta tried something new here, man. It's a good thing, man. He tried to catch up Emery off guard." I don't think it had nothing like that. I think almost every single Arsenal fan would have been like, "What is going on? Where is our striker?"
Yeah, and because going into this tie, Lacazette would have been injured, and Aubameyang, I think, didn't start against, was the team we played before this game? I don't think Aubameyang had a start against Everton, so, you know, he was not coming back from malaria. So it was really interesting to see what he would have done. But what he had done was trash. I mean, like, would you have preferred to see this lineup or see Nketiah start? As the question.
Neither. I would have preferred.
I think,
that's why you're on him? All right. Yeah, I would have preferred Martinelli start.
Yeah, and this feel like the space for Martinelli. I feel even like Odegaard over this entire tie was disappointing. And I feel like we should have seen Martinelli on top with Smith Rowe, you know, behind him.
Bring on Odegaard as a sub. Since after the international break, Odegaard looks like a shadow of the player he looked.
Yeah, like, and
when he first came in.
I feel he kind of suffering from the same thing. You know, Saka been suffering with a bit too much football too soon. You know, you get the injury and you expect it to come back immediately into the game and just be your old self without really just trying to find your feet now. You know? That's what it looked like to me, looking at Odegaard play over the last few days. yo. I don't even know, like, where to go with this, but like we just I feel so shocked to my core just watching the level of football we play over this tie. And I feel like Villarreal tried to lose as best as Villarreal could try to lose. They tried to lose and we was like, no, Ole, go ahead and win. Shocking first leg performance. Really shocking, boy. I don't even know. I mean, we get a penalty to give us the away goal, to give us the hope, because within 5 minutes we were done. Chukwueze, Linkopi boy, Chigueros, and we was done. And no surprise, it came down the side of Xhaka.
And on that goal, I would know, it's like, why? And this is a trend. I find recently, like, our players just escorting the opposition by nobody putting in a tackle.
Yeah. I mean, but without anything else in the lineup, like, behind the strike, behind the front four, anything else was surprising?
Well, it's not surprising, like... it's what we know Arteta would pick. He's become very predictable. I called in for Saka to get bench, but 3 games now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Saka would continue to start.
Yeah.
I think he won the penalty in this game, I think.
But yeah, I think he won the penalty first. Which means that even though he's playing a little bit subpar to what I know he can play, he's still being a positive influence on the team. Which is, it just goes to show for me, like, the levels that he is at, you understand? He's just a fantastic player for me, you know?
For me, it's either he bench or he play left back. Like, Mikel Arteta seriously doesn't want to put him back at left back, but we have no choice right now. Like, we literally had no choice.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into the topic of Arteta yet, because we'll talk about him a little later on. Saka, I didn't want him to start. I wanted Pepe on the right and Martinelli on the left. Martinelli or Smith-Rowe on the left, because Smith-Rowe
played
the left.
And who on top? If you ask.
Well, then in this game, it'll be Smith-Rowe on the left and Martinelli on top.
Okay.
I mean, I's not an expert, but I'm sure at least 50% of the Arsenal fans will agree with what I just said.
No, I feel like the game was meant for Martinelli. I feel like it was meant for him to play this game. I didn't see the need to force Odegaard into the lineup. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, whether or not Saka going on play. You know, I'm not even gonna try to find a way to say, well, Saka can't play. Like, the only way he's not going on play football is if he injured. So I'm not surprised by that at all. But yeah, they scored within 5 minutes. And I think that was at the point in time where Arsenal realized, well, we playing with our left back that is not our left back. We should probably help him. We should probably give him some support down the left.
But what got me with that first goal is he had support. The player skipped through. What's his name? Chukwueze. He skipped through two players. It was Xhaka and somebody else. He skipped through.
To be honest though, I think I missed the beginning of this game. I only got home. I think I saw the second half, but so I really didn't. Listen, I will be honest, sir. I should really watch the highlights. But losing this game, the way we lose it, I didn't bother to go back and look at the goal. But
bro, I understand how you feel. I said it in the last podcast, and I don't want to repeat it again, but it's very hard to watch Arsenal replays. It's hard to watch replays when you win. It's even worse to watch replays when we lose, because we're not playing good.
Yeah, exactly that. And I look at this here. I came home, I think by the time I got home to see the game, they had just scored their second goal. But I honestly think that throughout the rest of this first leg, I felt like they did a better job defending against Chukwueze. Because, you know, it was more people back. I used to see like three persons really trying to defend them, like the midfielder, the left winger, and Xhaka. So he didn't really get to put his stamp on the game. But I mean, let me move on to the second goal. And I believe this was a header from Albiol. I don't want to get it wrong. I think he would have headed in this one.
No, it was not. It was a flick on and party for a sleep on the last post.
Oh, yes. But it was from our corner.
Yeah, it's from our corner.
Yeah, it was our corner. I remember this party totally ball watching and he just fall in and yeah. And from the rest of this tie watching this game, Arsenal, and this is something, and I say the rest of this tie, you know, I mean like even just the rest of the games. Sorry, wait, Arsenal just messing my mental, but I think when I say just the rest of the tie, you know, not just this game, but just the second leg as well. Arsenal didn't play like if they were down 2-0. We played like if we were up 2-0. Relaxed, conversational kind of football, you know what I mean? We just going backwards. Every time I saw the ball reach Xhaka's feet, I kind of just felt like, alright, he going back. We going sideways. And it has so many opportunities throughout this game. And throughout the game, the second leg as well, where we could have just gone forward, push it, you understand? And instead, we playing this football like we is, I don't even know what to say now, like we are this superior team. And we are sure to get our goal when our biggest problem this season has been goal scoring. You understand? Mm-hmm. And you could probably try to put blame in many places. You know, you could probably try to say, well, Aubameyang wasn't firing, Lacazette wasn't firing, all these things at the beginning of the season. But it is well documented that this is probably our poorest or one of our poorest
attacking season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Porous, and we play football like if we don't need to try to score, and I didn't get it at all, and I think we were lucky to even leave this tie with the away goal, you understand, with that goal from Pepe, the penalty.
That was a blessing, you know, that penalty was a blessing.
Yeah, it was 100% a blessing. Like, I can't see it as anything else other than a blessing, because we clearly, throughout this entire tie, we were not going to score from open play. There was no way to see us scoring from open play in this entire tie. And we got that penalty. We got that one goal to go into the tie. Well done to Saka for gaining the penalty. And, you know, letting us go into the second leg with some hope. And again, you know, let's look back at this match. Arteta with the poor tactics. We're not playing well. Our full substitution in this game came at the 63rd minute. Right? And exactly the substitution
earlier than he usually.
We started a little earlier, but the other substitution after that came at the 85th minute. And the thing about it is, everybody know what the away leg means, right? The away leg means, let us, if they up to, let us score two. That way, when they come to the Emirates, they have to score two. You understand? So, how is it that we make any second substitution in the 85th minute? And the last two substitutions that he made was 90 plus 5. You understand? Like, we trying to see all the tie. Not Villarreal trying to see all the tie. Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, like, you know, like, why we playing the tie like this? Why we playing the football like this? You know, it's how I felt. Like, we should try to get the two goals and give Villarreal something to play for any second, like, you understand? Give them something to come at us with. Instead, they know we have a poor goal scoring record, so they end up coming to the Emirates now to play two banks of four, knowing that we probably not going to break them down. our only hope of scoring is probably, you know, getting a set piece, getting a penalty. You understand? And that's exactly what we saw in the second leg. And I mean, we could just move straight to the second leg, a nil-nil draw. Everything on the line. And
so before you talk, right?
Yeah.
Emery is still a terrible coach.
It's still and a terrible
I say
coach.
I say that without any hesitation. Because just like Arsenal, just like how we had Arsenal, is how we have Villarreal, where they will be conceding upwards 30 shots per game. If you go and check their average shots conceded in the league, it's average of over 30 shots men getting on Villarreal.
And yeah.
Coming to play against Arsenal, we only managed 9 shots in the first leg and 14 shots in the second leg. It's like, how is it a team that's so poor in the league?
Yeah.
When in this area, come to Arsenal and we make them look good?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know why.
Villarreal didn't do nothing to win this tie.
They did. And that's what I said in the beginning. Like, we try our best. We literally tried our best, Keegan, to let them win this game. And they tried their best to lose this game. And what ended up happening? Well, we do better than them. We did better and them than letting them win this tie. Because I sat down last night. You know things bad when you sit down on the phone talking to your fiance about football. And like, babe, I like, kill. All we needed to score was one goal. One goal. Nothing could be worse than watching your favorite team struggle to score one goal. And what made it worse is that for the first half, we didn't even try to score. I don't know what I sit down to watch in the first half. I couldn't decide where Emil Smith-Rowe and Odegaard was playing. I couldn't decide where Pepe and Saka was playing. One moment Saka out on the left, one moment he out on the right. It's like we trying all sorts of things, shifting positions. You understand? Like this, all of a sudden Emil and Odegaard playing center, then they're playing wide, then they're playing a little deeper, like number 8, then they're playing like number 10s, then one playing as a number 10, one playing as a number 8. It's like, what's going on? It's like, anybody know what we trying to accomplish? Like, where's the brand? You understand? No consistency at all with the football. And in the second half, it didn't change. The only thing that seemed to have changed for me was that the players was actually trying to get something. It seemed to me that certain players was trying to get something. You know, Pepe, Aubameyang definitely was trying to get something out of the game. And it felt like that, like, you know, we were the players were trying to get something, but the manager, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, 3 shots on target, 3. And 2 shots to hit the woodwork. Bro, come on. And oh, 7 five, shots. Five. And 7 five shots long. Total. 8 shots total. You have to be kidding. You really have to be kidding. In a game where we need 1 goal to win, we could only take 8 shots. 8? Bro, come on, bro. Come on. Like, what? You know, I know everybody is like, you know, We can't just blame the manager. We had to blame the ownership. We had to do all that.
I comment to him after.
I mean, we comment to him, but this is an abject failure on squad management, game management, everything. Two legs. You can't fail in one leg and then say, let me one up it. Let me feel harder in the second leg. You know what I mean? I feel like this was the kind of game where we need a player like Alexis Sanchez. You remember those days when we had Sanchez and he would decide that we not losing? Instead, we have Pepe. So I'm rambling on as well. We talk about the second leg. Anything to note beside Aubameyang hitting the post twice?
Well, when I looked at the second leg, I was sitting right next to you watching it. You sort of seen my reaction. I kind of tapered it because I was over at your house. If I was not there, I'd have been crawling that whole game.
You'd have meet unholy Keegan.
it won't be unholy. It just made me talk. Then made me more, a lot more vocal. Because remember, I keep telling you, why is he going backward? Why is he going backward? Why is he going sideways? Like, like sideways. They're doing the electric slide, bro. Nobody going forward. Party is the only one. Party head up right through. No options.
Yeah.
No options.
I was saying, like, we don't even know what was the tactical approach, you understand? And I felt that way seeing Emil and Odegaard on the field.
Listen,
I felt like the problem we that faced was that Partey would get isolated. I do trust Partey
He was very isolated.
I was thinking that he would get isolated on defense, but it was quite the contrary. He was isolated on the attacking side of the ball. He couldn't really move forward. He couldn't bring any combinations. Sure, I mean, I don't even know what to say, but like, we just decided to play poorly. I mean, we didn't have Ceballos. I think Ceballos got red. No.
Yeah, he got the red in the game before, so you can play this one.
He didn't get the red against Newcastle?
Nah.
It was
like against Villarreal.
Yeah, I feel that also kind of change up things because I'm pretty sure that he would. Yes. Oh, we didn't even talk about the poor referee in our first leg as well.
That referee was terrible. Sabayas was running, and the other player went to ground and put his foot on that part for Sabayas own.
Yeah. We skipped past that red card, but I forget that red card.
Give Ceballos a second yellow. That's crazy.
That was so stupid. I remember watching that. Wow, we go revisionist history going back.
Over the two legs is one game practically. So
yeah.
And VAR, VAR didn't even watch that.
Well, VAR wouldn't, as I was telling you on the day, VAR do review second yellows. They will review our shit, right? You find your shit review.
Cards, bro.
I think that if the referees, if VAR has to review second yellows, it might be putting them in a position to review all yellows, which I feel like they don't want to. But I think they should not.
I don't think so. They should continue.
I think they should review all these missiles,
all red cards. So once if it's a second yellow,
right.
So if it's a second yellow leading to a red, they need to.
Yeah, because to me, if our VAR sees this, it has no way to give a second yellow because the man was just running like it was in his stride. It is so crazy to be carded for that. Yeah, it's like it wasn't like ground, the slight tackle came in. Exactly.
It was funny
because people kind of saying, well, we was already playing with 10 men, so it didn't matter that Ceballos came off. But you know, that really impacted. Sure. I'm sure it impacted Arteta because I'm sure he would have probably wanted to pick Ceballos for this game as well. But for the second leg as well. But yeah, I mean, I still can't fathom what we saw. So yeah, let me go line up now. I kinda expected Aubameyang to start this game. I don't think anything else was changed. I think Xhaka came in
The lineup for the second line was good.
Yeah, you felt like the lineup was good. I felt like the lineup was
so that way Arteta have to take. Yeah. The lineup was really good. The system was the problem. So basically, with this lineup, it's Xhaka was supposed to start, not Tini.
But Xhaka get it, right? Yeah, he pull up in the
Xhaka pull up in the
Tini is a fighter, but Tini lasts how long in this game? 80 minutes? That is crazy. Knowing that he probably should have played like 45.
I wouldn't even
get
so I show you probably like
that. I was saying like maximum he should have played 45, but he played 80. Shout out to KT3, but
So for me, right now Google here has the lineup as a 4.
Which is why I was telling you that it was probably going to be
look like on the day. So I would have played this formation slightly different. Obviously Saka would have, let's say we're playing 4-2-3-1. I would put Emil. I think Emil excels high up the pitch, but I'd have bring him back.
I feel like
and put Odegaard in the 10 and put Saka on the left.
Yeah, well, they're trying to shoehorn Saka into that inside forward role. And I don't think it's his best role. I think he plays good. But at the end of the day, Pepe is a better inside forward on the day. He's a special.
Pepe is a specialist, bro.
And I think that they probably try to, they probably try their best to. What is the word they're looking for, buddy? They're probably trying the best to, like, get the best out of Saka. I think if they get Saka to become like a real goal scorer, cutting onto his left foot will be best. But
you have a goal scorer already who you pay $72 million for. Who in a terrible season still have double figures in goals and assists.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. So yeah. I mean, other than that, this lineup felt standard. I expected to see Aubameyang. For me, however, and this is, I don't wanna, sound like Captain Hindsight or whatever. I feel like Martinelli should have played this game, and I know certain people listening might be saying, "Well, thing." But getting into the mind of the manager, I would understand why Aubameyang started, but I would have started Martinelli in this game, given, Aubameyang now coming back or whatever. But other than that, I was kind of glad to see Tierney come in, but I feel like it didn't make that much of a difference, especially seeing that Chukwueze went down injured. But other than that, it was a real tepid team affair. And that's it. I think what really sucked was looking at this game thinking, okay, we need to make substitutions. We waited the 66th minute to take off Odegaard, and it was like we anybody could see that Odegaard and Emile Smith Rowe at the same time wasn't working. Like, that is a halftime substitution. That is a 50th minute substitution. Yeah,
it's because both of them playing in the center. It's because Smith Rowe was playing left wing.
So which means that Saka should have played in the center. Well, I know you're pushing that left sided.
I love Saka in his. I love Saka in the center. I'm telling you. So I would have rearranged that with Pepe on the right, Smith Rowe on the left.
I think that even though that sounds crazy to some, I think that I'll give Partey a lot of combination play to play with, and somebody that could dribble. Like, it's been a while since we had somebody that could actually dribble with the ball through the center of the park, because Ceballos doesn't do that well at all. I worry about Saka's passing, though. I don't think he's that great of a passer. Like, he could hit many little 1-2s and thing, but expansive passing is our problem. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's it. What I really wanted to get at with this game was our best attacking performer on this day. Nobody could dispute was Aubameyang for me. The best chances, the two best chances we had came from Aubameyang. So how is it that he was our candidate to be substituted for Lacazette? Like, I knew Lacazette was coming on, but I kind of felt like it was either Pepe or Emil or Saka coming off for Lacazette. So we'd have probably played like about three strikers or something. However, and Aubameyang comes off right after hitting the post. Like, you saw Aubameyang hit the post, and the next time they showed him was on the bench. And that is terrible. That's terrible. Yeah. That's absolutely terrible. I think in that moment, Aubameyang is playing the best. He is getting the best chances to score. And I felt like even had he played the 90 minutes, I feel like he would have scored it. I mean, revision is a shame, hindsight, but I think it give him that chance to score. I don't see what Lacazette is going to bring that's different from what Aubameyang is bringing. That's better than what Aubameyang was bringing.
No, what they should have done was...
Well, I mean, after that, I just went crazy, you know, and Ketia coming on for Bellerin and...
It's both of us reaction when William
I to be honest, bro, I just saw William on the bench. I just fool up, yes. I fool Dion, up on this.
Dion fool up. I can't remember if he hit the floor or not, but I get up and I walk out in front of the TV.
I don't know why. Like, I was okay with the substitutions, and then William and Nketiah, I was like, all right, we don't want to win this game. We clearly don't. And it's like, why Atata wait until the 90th minute, right? And to make matters worse, we get 5 minutes extra time. I'm still holding on to any little shred of hope, right? Any little shred of hope I'm holding on. Yeah, I think Nketiah came on for Tierney, all kind of thing. And Saka had started to play left back. Right? And I was holding on to Eddie Lee Shara Hope. And then Ketia make 2 bad fouls. Get a yellow card. And they just waiting to kill time because they're going through. And it's like, bro, you can't come on to foul people. You understand what I'm saying?
He just
but that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. that's not making sense.
That's what he do.
Bro.
That's what he did.
I think out of the 5 minutes extra time, he cost us 2 minutes, literally, because from the time any player get kicked, they're staying on the ground for sure. They're on the ground for 30 seconds or more. So it's like that's crazy, bro. Like, but yeah, we have been eliminated from the Europa League. That's where it stands. Let's move to the Prem now. I think we won 2-0 against Newcastle. Good win. I don't really want to talk about this game at all, to be honest. I don't feel like I could talk about any games for the rest of the season, to be honest. But yeah, we got 2-0 win against Newcastle.
Shout out to
Mohamed El Neni. The only thing party had to take from El Neni game is that shooting foot. That was a good goal, but that was like I remember when I was in school now, boy, when I my brethren was like, yo, hitting a volley real hard, but like you can't just hit a half volley and a volley just so now, but you know, so I was like, all right, cool. And then I tried to take volleys, and I was like, oh, it actually real hard. It had to like time it now. Boy. And this is the second volley I think I see in any score. Like, he had one in the Europa League, but this one,
no, like, after this goal,
yeah,
2 compilations came out, not compilation, 2 videos. Came out on YouTube. One was a compilation.
Yeah, you
of
know,
all
he had
goals.
He had the volleys,
all outside the box.
Like, I was just
all, and it had an open mic with him to the Arsenal post, and he with the shot that Xhaka took. It was he who told him to shoot El Neni. Both in Xhaka to tell Xhaka to shoot.
But I remember Wenger tell Xhaka stop shooting to her. I know all the men just forget about that. When men come in, we just always bring in men who could score from the outside. And as soon as they touch down, Wenger, they say, none of that. We don't shoot from outside. We shoot from inside the box. Or right on top of the box.
Well, Ian, come in, Wenger.
If it's one thing, Wenger had done sloppy long time. Probably not sloppy. He'd say, well, you know, Thomas, no shooting from outside, Thomas. Okay. I got a poor impression of Wenger. I apologize. It was horrible. Good goal. I really like how he line up the shot. He really just take his time, got in the proper position to hit it flush. He got a little deflection to help it go in, but I think it was going in regardless.
And Martin, and it goes from having a man of the match performance.
Who's surprised? Who is surprised? Who is
nobody?
Who is surprised? Those but he didn't score, you know. That was he assisted.
Have become typical Arteta. Yeah, but he had one of the most mature performances I've seen in Arsenal shoot.
But who you benching for? I guess the answer for you is Saka. I think I would bench Saka for him. If we going on form, Saka would be the one for me to have to hit the bench.
Bro, since it had a game, I had a game about 5 or 6 games back. I can't remember when it was, boy. Where Saka was just missing one on ones. I'm not sure if you can remember that.
Yeah.
You get like 2-1 in the same game and miss both of them. After those games for me, after those games, and that was like 5 or 6 games ago, I say it was time. That was time for Saka. Too much rope. He had a bench now. You understand? This is not a kindergarten. This is not and I'm knocking Saka, the man have all that ability and he's the future.
I think he's tired.
But rest that man. You see how Arteta rapping Martinelli in Cotton
Bowl? Yeah, I think he's tired, bro. Rap I think Saka you can see that he just playing too much, boy. And it's something like playing too much. Like getting on a break, you know? I'm not surprised. I really, when it comes to the lineup, I'm not surprised by anything Arteta does anymore because his lineups don't make sense. And it's always been a point that we talk about. Like, Willian playing garbage always finds a way on the field. You know what I'm saying? And then
Willian pick up a little bit of form.
I don't understand that. I feel like he's be trying to play the worst players and the worst tactics and the worst formations as much as possible. I don't know what is we going through, sir. That being said, I mentioned his name like 4 times. Arteta out, hashtag Arteta out, what are you saying?
Alright, so I am hashtag
Arteta in. Ooh. Ooh. I mean, you're by yourself, or not? No, yeah, what I said, I am saying.
That's fine.
I am saying
I'll explain why
Arteta out. And I've been hashtag Arteta in all season. Throughout all the drama and the nonsense that's been going on, I've been Arteta in. These 2 legs against Villarreal, season on the line. Everything, your future, what we able to do in the transfer market come August, come July, August. What players we able to keep, what players that probably want to leave, what players that we going to be forced to sell or going and beg us to let them leave. You understand? Like, what the squad is going to look like. I mean, everything, the entire season and going forward, everything depending on these 2 games. And he did rubbish these 2 games. It can't be understated that he did rubbish. There are nobody out there on the planet that's gonna say Arteta didn't do rubbish. You understand? And, you know, I would be Arteta in if we tried. If the football team looked like we try and Villarreal was just clearly better than us. They clearly managed the game better than us. They did better. And nobody could say Villarreal didn't look like they was trying to lose. Nobody could say that Villarreal didn't look like Unai Emery was the manager. You understand what I'm saying? So, I have to be at all because I am wondering now when we are going to be in situations. I mean, we've been poor every single minute of the season, right? Every minute of the season, we have been poor. Even when we've been good, we've been poor, right? Because it's like we've been better, so we hoping that we will get better, but then we just, you know, go back down to the mean of it, go back down to what's expected. And to be honest, I look at that, I look at this whole season now, failing the league, failing the domestic cups, failing the Europa League. Yo, like, this, everything is a failure. The transfer market was a failure. Like, to me, Arteta, Edu, gone. They have to, had to go, because I don't know what dream they could sell us. You understand? Because what's going to happen when summer come around? Right? Edu probably going to link up with the agent, Bridget and him, and bring in some next old man looking to sweat somewhere. You understand? No, but I mean, that's what we get. That's David Luiz for you.
Don't knock David Luiz. David Luiz played in these two
levels. David Luiz was not our signing for the future. One. Right? David Luiz was our signing for right now. Two. And David Luiz didn't make the team better. I mean, look at the first season. He come in. Look at the first season. I don't feel like David Luiz make Arsenal much better than if we had done.
I disagree. The last game we won.
We make a clean sheet against Villarreal. Look, I don't hear you.
The last game we won, who's starting the back for me? It's not just the defensive side of the game. You're getting a little distracted. No, I'm not distracted. I'm getting defensive because I don't worry to knock David Luiz because David Luiz have served this club heart and soul since he come in. He is David Luiz and he made mistakes, but since those mistakes in the first season, nobody could say that he's continuously made those mistakes. Referees even targeted the man because they know that he prone to mistakes. Some of the decisions against him was unjust.
We know this.
Yeah, you're telling me that's David Luiz.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that David Luiz was a bad signing, right? I am saying that David Luiz was not a good signing because
I still disagree.
That's obvious. No coming back from that. But David Luiz getting older. David Luiz getting older. David Luiz is not getting better. David Luiz is deteriorating in skill and ability. I mean, what he have is experience, which is fine. But why are we depending on him? And that's my point. I feel like the signings that we have made this season and last season that have been good is the leadership of signings. You understand what I'm saying? Like Matt Ryan, like Cedric, like who else we signed by? Like Thomas Partey, even though that's not a leadership of signing. You know, but the little under the radar signings have been things that have been positive for us. You understand what I'm saying? And is on the big side. It's like we signing players to appease agents, which is insane. We sign in players to say we do something. Pepe, Partey, which is insane. And those kinds of money being spent without the level of the team being raised. I mean, come on.
Right, and David Luiz even take a pay cut, bro. To stay with
okay.
Listen,
before you continue. David Luiz take our pay cut to stay with you, right? I sure our pay cut was more money than whatever the next club was going on offer. A positive about that. So that pay cut don't mean or say nothing to me, but You understand? Because if he was making 100,000 and he say, they say, well, David, we could only get 75, I bet your bottom dollar the Brazilian teams on them that were signing him wasn't going and even pay 50,000 a week, bro. So that pay cut is not meaningful to me. David Luiz keep out men like Saliba, boy. I don't even know what Saliba saying. I don't, yeah, it's not David Luiz's fault, but it's kind of like he fault, because if he wasn't there, Arteta would have no choice but to play Saliba. Anyway, I mean, I just, yeah, I'm going on a little rabbit hole. I'll admit I'm going on a rabbit hole.
But use Willian as the primary example. Don't use David Luiz. He's contributed too much positive.
Yeah, but you know negative, what that gives him,
he contributed real positive to the club.
And neutral effect, because he contributes so much negatives, though, that the positive that he bring, it just get cancelled. And that don't make no sense.
Yeah, I tell you, I think that's what most fans feel. I feel like I'm in a minority.
And you could even come to say the same thing about Pepe. Pepe bring plenty positive, in my opinion. But he bring negatives.
I wouldn't even shout say out that to Pepe. Pepe's caught it in the
I think.
Barely playing. The man playing better than Saka.
The man just had strong Ozil vibes. He just has strong Ozil vibes, though.
Arteta just say not to watch the price tag, but it feels like if you're watching the man price tag, though. Because the man clearly, he may not be playing $75 million or $72 million dollars worth right now.
Hey,
but he's playing.
I agree. I'm not going to fight it. But yeah, I mean, go ahead on. I went on the rabbit hole trying to explain my Arteta out position. You go on Arteta, you know you saying. But before you go, I just want to say that even though I own Arteta out, I don't think the IOPS going on fire him, by the way. And I don't think he's resigning. So, you got.
Yeah, so, let me first begin by saying, one, Arteta is not getting the best out of the squad. Two, Arteta is responsible for our position in the league. Even though there were a lot of circumstances beyond his control that affected it. And three, he is responsible for us being out of Europe as well, because he experimented in the two most important games of the season. Like, nothing was wrong with playing what we are accustomed playing against Villarreal, and we're going to beat them. I don't know why he tried the 4-9 thing, and I don't know why he tried a 4-1-4-1 formation in the second leg. So those, to me, he is responsible for throwing away his career. He's in these last 2 months, he's like, fire me. You pick a team, put them 2 teams together, yeah. Mark, fire me. Seriously, I don't know what is in his mind that caused him to pick those two lineups for the first leg and the second leg, even the tactics and stuff. It was terrible, terrible, terrible. I usually watch fan cams all the time.
After no, wait, I too much. I too much cussing. Cussing.
Right now, I kind of blend up myself to watch the latest set of fan cams, because it's good for me, because I'll be able to connect with the fans that live in there. You know, to get a perspective. And right now, them pissing, man. So I want to go and I saw a title in a video, Mark. Kroc, get out. Arteta out. Everybody out. So I need to go and check out that video later. But so in spite of all those things that I just listed, with Arteta or the faults, I am still Arteta in. Right? And this is why. It is not Arteta's fault that we have one left.
Don't do me that now, man.
Right? That's the first thing. Wait,
bro.
That is how is that?
So you telling me that he couldn't tell Edu bring in a left back in January? You telling me, Edu and Arteta, get rid of Kolasinac. Get rid of Kolasinac in January. It would have been the same thing, yes.
It would have been the same thing.
Oh, you could get rid of left back, and don't bring back in a left back.
But wait, now.
Nah, you're talking
rubbish. Right now is my turn to talk, so I don't know what you're saying. Anyways, it's not Arteta's fault that we have
shout
no good
the big
right
dog
back.
Chambers one time.
You understand? You understand? Arsenal has been, the squad has been poorly managed for years before Arteta came in. So right now, he inherited a terrible squad. Right? Which he is at OJT, I was going to say that, where he learned any job, and he will make mistakes, and he has been making mistakes, and he has made mistakes that cost us to be out of Europe for the first time in 25 years. Right? Getting rid of Arteta today, right, and another manager coming in, we will still have the terrible squad that we have right now. With only one left back, no good right back. We now getting good centre backs. You understand? No one good midfielder. We only have one good midfielder. One.
No, Jakara press.
I wouldn't even call Jakara as a good midfielder. You understand? We have one good winger. And maybe say, well, Saka. I talk about Pepe. I the only good winger we have. You understand? Martinelli and Pep and Saka, and they are still prospects. They're still becoming who they will be in their career. They're not there yet. You understand? So it's Arsenal's management fault. The owners of the club, the people in charge of the transfer market, it's their fault that all we have a very top-heavy squad. We only have two good strikers, and that's it. And right now, two good strikers passed it. So we are just I'm gonna count the only good players on the team, right? We have, and I'm not counting Tony's, so I'm not counting Odegaard, because he's not a player, right? So all we have is Partey, Tierney.
Wow.
just now, wait. Yeah.
I just want to Partey, Tierney, and kill it.
Every other position. Yeah. Because I'm not counting
you're counting the people that had to be registered.
They're still becoming who the player that they're going to
be. Over 21.
I count any people that is I reach, this is me, and you, because World Beaters, Partey, he had a terrible season this season.
I think he's going on top.
I think next season he'll be one of the best midfielders in the league. You understand? Tierney.
I am biased. I think that he's the best left back in the league, which means that he's definitely a top five left back. Like, I struggle to find a left back, like, probably like Luke Shaw. And I think Zinchenko does run left back for City.
Yeah.
And probably Andy Robertson out of Liverpool would be there.
Yeah. So before I continue, right? Even though I made such strong claims just now, I do value the players that we have. So I love Aubameyang and Elneny and all them fellas, and I appreciate them. I love them. But if we want to reach a level where we competing with the best,
so
you had to be ruthless and you had to be honest.
So my question that I had for you, is management fault, right? Where is Arteta tied right now? Okay. Case closed. Hashtag case closed. For you to sit down and tell me it's not Arteta's fault that we don't have a left back, that's our backup to Tierney, I find that statement is incredible. Me and you sit down in January. Me and you specifically said we need a left back because we know Tierney is not that solid as yet. I know he has his injury problems. I know that he might miss our 3 weeks here and there, right? Especially if we had to play him every game. We get rid of Kolasinac. You tell me this thing, right? Let me just say, it's not Arteta's fault, right? And is Edu is definitely Edu's fault. Like if Arteta has to take no blame, is 100% the blame of Edu, right? But you,
before you continue, right? This is not FIFA or Football Manager. You can't just go and snap your fingers and type.
Bro, I try to buy left backs on Football Manager, and it's incredibly difficult to do that as well. But what I'm saying is, right, we could sign anybody. Cedric, I know there are a lot of Arsenal fans out there, like, Cedric is a real good player, that kind of vibe, right? That he's the best right back. That's nonsense to me. That's craziness. I don't think he's the best right back on your team. Right now, the best right back is Chambers. That's just facts, right? But what I'm saying is, we were linked to like three different left backs in January. Patrick, Avana, and Holt, and some other left backs. We could have loaned a left back. We could have do something. We did absolutely nothing. And for me to reach deadline day and we don't get a left back, Edu would have had to pull up to Arteta and say, Arteta, pressure, you know, boy. I think we ain't getting our left back at the quality. You feel we can make it in case Tierney go out? Or we could just bring in something on emergency. Right? And this is what we were saying. This is what I was saying. We need an emergency left back. We need a left back that could just play to get Tierney Harris. So when the big games come, we have Tierney. You understand what I'm saying? So don't tell me Arteta taking no blame there, because Arteta would have to say to Edu, we can make two. You understand?
Right. And I'm not saying that he would take no blame.
So at the end of the day, there are a lot of failures. But the other thing I wanted to say before you continue, I wanted to count my best players on the team right now. Right? So, Tierney, for sure. I would pick Pablo and Gabriel Mari as the best players. No, sir. Oh, my God. Gabriel and Pablo Mari. Yeah. Right? Chambers. In fact, nah, take out Chambers. I can't say he's one of the best players, right? Party. You see no youngsters. So, I'll pick Pepe. That's on my five players. That's my... I don't think we should move on from any of those players as yet. You understand? It's left to be seen if Arteta could use his brain.
I didn't choose Gabriel because Gabriel is still raw, and
I think that Arteta to use his brain and realize that he should be playing Gabriel and Pablo Mari together, because people just play two right footed right center box all the time. Nothing too hard to play two left footed center box. It's not like they're going and be incapable. And I think Mari have a lot of technical ability so that he could even play on the right side of the defense. You understand? But at the end of the day, to me, right, let we put blame wherever. Owner, technical director, thing. This squad underperformed. And who in charge of the squad? Arteta. And this is not we aiming for top four, we land six underperform. This is we aiming for top four, winning the Europa League, probably a cup run, go deep in the cup or something, right? We get dumped out the FA Cup by Southampton. I think City dump we out of the Carabao Cup, so I wouldn't be too upset about that. And nobody really care about the Carabao Cup. Southampton kicks us out. Die them all.
Except
right?
City.
Whoever.
Except City. City Cup. But
Southampton kicks us out of the FA Cup. Villarreal on that Unai Emery kicks us out of the Europa League. And we kick our own self. We kick our own self out of the Premier League back in November. Right? And then play good in January and peace out January and no December and peace out January. Right? We play good in that period and then completely tail off again. So we kick we own self in we foot multiple times this season. Or you could sit here by and say Arteta Atata in, but like I don't have a problem with saying that, hey, it's about the difference between we are not performing and, well, we could tell we are not performing because the club not investing, and we are not performing because the club not investing and the squad management is poor and game management is poor. You understand what I'm saying? But like, Atata had to take real, real blame, and he had to do real, real, real good next season, bro. You understand?
Yeah, but and I agree. All right. The reason why I'm saying that, why I'm not saying as a thought, is I think another manager will solve our problems. That's the reason why I'm saying that at a time. And I think that even though he failed miserably this season, I think he has to see it out.
I think that this is a...
People might say, people wouldn't agree with me at all. They say, oh God, you mad feeling, I still want to give my next thing. I say, I still want to give him my next one. Because I hate to quote from other clubs, right? But, for example, you would say...
PSG.
Where Tuchel used to coach?
Used to coach Dortmund.
Yeah, before PSG.
Some German side, I don't remember. I think it's Schalke or something.
Alright. So, in the same way how Chelsea get through, where the Lampard get his sack, and Tuchel come in and Tuchel turn around this season, right? That was possible because
Chelsea have a
Man City squad.
That was a bomb squad. He was managing in a club called Mainz, boy.
You understand?
Yeah, from 2009, wow, he was there.
Right? And then, so that's my first example for the Arteta old people, right? Who would, you know, another manager will get better out of the players. And then my other argument, I do like Manu and Ole at all, but Manu and Ole was real trash. Early in this season and last season, they were real terrible. And no one can tell me, oh God, nah, it wasn't terrible, that's terrible. And look now, look at how Manu doing it right now. Second in the league, in the Europa League, Fran almost like you're going to win it. You understand? And Manu, their project, they're further in their project than us. And they have a lot better. They have more players, more good players in different areas than us as well.
Their
squad probably just slightly better than us.
I mean,
squad. And they turn it around under the same trash manager in Oli. So I don't think firing him would solve the problem. I really don't feel so. I feel another manager will come in and we still wouldn't be able to get.
I think for two reasons why Arteta wouldn't leave. They don't have a single manager and he will leave in the work to come to work for you. Right? Edward one that's gonna leave their job to come and manage Arsenal right now. And the other thing I would say about that is the only other manager probably available is what's his name? Allegri. And Allegri didn't wanna come when we wanted him the first time around, right? I think I am Arteta out, but I don't know who coming in, right? And I think on top of it now, we're going to be in a place where we're going to sell a lot of players. We're going to play with our younger squad next season. So expect to see more of your boy Saka and thing running, right? I mean, in our next podcast, because I don't want this podcast to just go down our rabbit hole and talk forever, right? Yeah, so but it's just like, you know, this here. I don't know. I mean, I don't even want to watch the next four games to end the season. I mean, we just going on. West Brom, Chelsea.
We have West Brom, which we should win. We have Chelsea. I don't know. I want to see how this game goes because I don't know. Like we have a better record against the top six this season.
Yeah, but that you think, like, who cares about our good record against the top six though? Like. You know what I'm saying? Like that's basically 36 points. Right. Dog, if we win all the ties, and we're not going to win all, so I mean, after that, we have Crystal Palace and Brighton. So, basically, if we was actually playing well, if we was beating teams like Everton and Fulham and you know, West Ham and them kind of thing, we'd have our good running. But you know,
watch Everton slide.
I know I had to watch Everton slide because when we play Everton, Everton play trash. We're not playing them anymore, you know. We lost our game 1-0. You understand? But anyway, but
we cannot the top points we all.
Though we all six off, by off about six. 12 points.
Points we off six. Seven.
It's seven?
Is that 12? It's seven.
We are on 49. Liverpool have a game in hand with 54. So if they win that game in hand, Liverpool and Everton have a game in hand.
Okay, okay. So we had to watch Liverpool.
No, but basically, if we win the next four games, that's 12 points. That will put we on 61. Could I do math? Yeah, 61. We could probably finish in fifth or sixth, but I don't see West Ham, Tottenham, Liverpool, and Everton just falling off a cliff and losing their next game.
The only thing Liverpool only had one hard game in the end, which is against Man U away.
I think when it coming on to the end of the season, Liverpool and West Ham going and find themselves in the top six. That's just my opinion there. And we going and end up either 8th, 9th, or 10th. You understand? I guess the only thing we could do right now is try to finish better than 8th last season, come 7th. You know? And I hope the Europa League is dropped down because of how City win the Carabao Cup. Winning the FA Cup. I don't know, you know, boy.
Yeah, pick up final right now.
But anyway, we rambling on for very long. I mean, we should look to wrap up the episode at this point, right? So yeah, if Chelsea versus Leicester, so if Chelsea wins or Leicester win, because I think both of them in the top four. Yeah, so if we come seventh, there's a possibility of our Europa League spot for us. But at the end of the day, like, we can't even bank on that. I don't even know how the Europa Leagues does work. You understand? But anyway, I guess we got to really just wait till the rest of the four games finish out. We'll cover those games, and then we're going to do our season review. But this is where we want to leave it here for today. If you find anything or something a little different today, we're actually recording over Discord. Somebody, one of us here on quarantine, so we can meet in person, right? So we want to thank you all for listening. As always, it's been our pleasure. And this has been Guna Pod TT.
Guna Pod. Boom.
Okay, yeah, I think you can get it. But it's been Guna Pod TT. Boom.
Guna Pod TT. Boom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of GunaPod TT.